The Andy Finn Show is back, and we are talking a little bit of politics. So Harriet Myers is still President Bush's nominee, despite calls by some Republicans to withdraw her name. That is not Bush's style. Just because he's run into a rough patch, he does not change his mind, and that's one of the things people like about him. We'll see if the base likes it when he sticks with her. But she already is running into a little bit of a rough spot, not simply because conservatives won't get behind her because they're afraid she's not conservative enough, but also this week, in fact, today it was reported that the top members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, that would be Republican Arlen Specter, the chair, and the ranking Democrat, Patrick Leahy, they are not happy with the answers that she has submitted to the questions that were asked. Right? Every candidate is asked written questions by the committee, and they write out answers and send them in. And, of course, the last guy to do this was John Roberts, and he is a tough act to follow. But the committee sent Harriet Myers a 3-page letter asking for more detailed responses in several areas. And the committee's also asked the Bush administration for more documents. And the way Specter put it, the Republican, was that Myers has to provide, quote, amplification on many, many of the items that were included in the first questionnaire. Leahy was a little bit stronger about it. Leahy said, we're working hard to carry out our responsibilities, not have this thing taken by winks and nods and quiet promises over conference calls. Actually, that's a little bit different quote. And that is about the fact that the Republican base, the Christian base, has been assured through people like James Dobson by Karl Rove, you have to trust us on this, but she's one of us. The implication being she would vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. And so the question the senators have is, gosh, if you can assure the base of that, in what way, you know, will we be able to let the Senate know what James Dobson knows? So that will be interesting. I'm not finding at the moment that quote from Leahy about her performance, but basically he was disappointed in what her answers were, and he was a little harsher than Specter was about it. The other thing that people said, Specter said that this will be an unusual hearing because all of the senators, both Republicans and Democrats, are going to have substantive questions. You know, usually one side is for the nominee and the other side attacks. So one side helps shore up the nominee, the other side attacks the nominee. That won't happen this time. The argument is that both sides are going to be probing quite deeply because neither side is convinced she's the one yet. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Specter was also quoted as saying, quote, There has been more controversy before this nominee has uttered a formal word than I've ever heard. And, of course, he's been involved with this for 25 years. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out. But right now, Harriet Myers, it all comes down to the hearings. And if she can acquit herself well, she'll be fine. She'll get through it because What can you imagine? You're not going to get all Republicans or all Democrats to vote against her. They kind of have to hope for a coalition of 25 Democrats and 26 Republicans or something like that to vote for somebody to vote her down. And I don't think that's very likely. I don't think you're going to see that kind of a coalition from, let's say, the far right and the far left coming together to turn her away. So it will be interesting to see. I also think that both sides have got some tough decisions to make about, and I'm talking about the senators here, about the support they're going to give to her, because she's not a constitutional scholar, so they're not going to get answers like John Roberts gave to some of these questions about the meaning of some of these precedents and all of that. In fact, it'll be interesting to see if she's even ready for many of the questions about precedent. She's just not that well versed in these things, and you don't expect someone to be if you've never been a judge before. So we will have to see, but that one looks like a TBD. The other issue that's in the news a great deal, of course, is the Valerie Plame leak investigation. A couple of new pieces came out this week. And the first is that Cheney's office, Vice President Cheney's office, is a focus in the leak case. There have been a number of sources that have come out and basically said that the prosecutor, the special prosecutor in this case, Fitzgerald, has interviewed a number of people from Dick Cheney's office, from his inner circle, that kind of thing. It isn't just Scooter Libby. They've interviewed a lot of people. Now, some people are speculating that means that Cheney may have been involved in some way or he might be charged. I think that's highly unlikely, although you can charge a sitting vice president. Well, you can't a sitting president. I just think that's unlikely. I think he delegated all this stuff to Scooter Libby and other people. But it apparently Fitzgerald's been looking more into this whole issue of the feud that the vice president's office, and therefore the administration, had with the CIA in the run-up to the Iraq War. If you remember, this Valerie Plame leak is all about Joe Wilson coming back from Niger, actually more than that, when Bush gave his State of the Union address where he said, yellowcake, you know, Saddam has been trying to get nuclear weapons, and Cheney and others were saying that he has reconstituted his nuclear weapons program. When all that was hitting the fan, Joe Wilson came out, and he's a partisan on the left, but the CIA had sent him to Niger to check out this yellowcake claim. And so Wilson comes out and says, hey, this is wrong. The yellowcake never amounted to anything. I can't believe Bush used this in a State of the Union address. And so the White House is looking to discredit Joe Wilson. They find out that his wife is a CIA agent, and in fact, she suggested Joe Wilson for the Niger trip. Nobody turned to him and said, oh, Joe Wilson's the best guy. Now, he had been a diplomat in Niger, and so he knew the people there, he knew the ropes and all of that, but he had no particular special expertise with nuclear weapons or nuclear material or WMD investigations, all of that. So the weird thing is that if it was Rove and Libby or whoever leaked all this, they somehow thought that, well, the best we can do to discredit Joe Wilson is to say, nah, 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 your wife got you the job. Now, that's kind of a bizarre indictment. That's playground stuff. It seems to me that that's meaningless in the grand scheme of things, since there were those 16 words about the Niger yellowcake that Bush spoke in the State of the Union and then had to be withdrawn. I don't believe there's been another State of the Union address in my lifetime where a president's gone back and said, the jury will disregard those 16 words from my State of the Union address. So it's all kind of bizarre, but the one thing that was going on was that Cheney's office was pressuring the CIA. Now, they deny it, but Cheney made multiple visits to the CIA to personally oversee the intelligence about WMD in Iraq. And basically, the CIA wasn't willing to come out and say positively, yes, he has chemical, yes, he has biological, yes, he's reconstituting nuclear, which is exactly what the administration wanted. So I've believed all along that those trips by Cheney to the CIA were a form of pressure. And there's evidence from other studies, other investigations that have been done, that in fact, the CIA agents there did feel pressure. Now, the fact that they didn't succumb to the pressure doesn't mean the pressure wasn't used. It just means that they were able to resist it. In any case, that is part of this investigation. The other piece that came along, and this was just in today's paper, and this is a Washington Post piece, a bit of Carl Rove's testimony to the grand jury has come out. Now, Rove hasn't spoken about it himself, and the president has said, there's an investigation ongoing, I'm not going to discuss it. Well, there's no reason you can't discuss an ongoing investigation. Matt Cooper, the reporter for Time that testified, as soon as he finished testifying, he came out and he said, here's everything I told people. He had nothing to hide and no reason to keep it quiet. And then Judy Miller took a few days, but now she has printed her story, and the New York Times has printed their story and took some heat for it. I guess that's the other piece of news in the last week, is that the New York Times doesn't come out smelling too good about this. And the reporter that went to jail doesn't necessarily come out smelling too good. But again, we don't know enough about all of these things. But the new piece of news here is that friends of Karl Rove say what Karl says he said to the grand jury, because Rove is not making statements himself. Karl told the grand jury, apparently, that Scooter Libby may have been his source for Valerie Plame's name. So he's putting it back on Libby in the vice president's office, the vice president's chief of staff. So that's interesting, and I don't know what it means. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. The last thing I'll say about it is, you know, it was two and a half years ago that George W. Bush said, well, if somebody leaks something, they'll be fired, and he's hoping the investigation gets to the bottom of it. But, of course, what's bizarre about that is that the president should be able to call in the members of his staff and say, hey, I want to know, did you leak this? What did you say to any reporter? Whatever. But, in fact, Bush right away said, I want to get to the bottom of this, too. But he didn't try to get to the bottom of it. He didn't conduct his own investigation, apparently. And this is his right-hand man, Karl Rove. And Libby's is Dick Cheney's right-hand man. So it's just kind of weird to me, and it's been this way all along, that the president is so powerless that he's saying, I want to get to the bottom of it, but I need this other person to ask my closest people, did you do the leaking? And, of course, Bush has backed off his original claim that if anyone in the White House had been found to leak, they would be fired. He now says, if anyone's found to have committed a crime, they will be fired. Because it's pretty obvious at this point that Libby and Rove probably both leak these. In any case, indictments were possible this week. They have to come by next week. The grand jury ends on October 28th, so Fitzgerald has to end by then. None of the pundits in Washington believe this will end without any indictments. As this new kind of special prosecutor, because again, the special prosecutor law was overturned and Congress doesn't appoint them anymore. The new approach doesn't require a final report. So it's possible that if Fitzgerald decided not to indict, that he, in fact, would not then issue any kind of report. He's not required to. Some people say he can't issue a report. It's not like the old statute that said you will issue a report. But everyone's guessing that he will indict some people. And it remains to be seen who and how high up it'll go. So that's what we're waiting on. It's supposed to come next week. And so I'm going to cap the discussion here because we'll know a lot more next week. And when we come back, we're going to talk about copyright law. A little bit in the area of technology and the internet. AOL has been not sued this week, but enjoined from, I don't mean AOL, Google has been enjoined from copying more books that they're doing. We'll cover that, and then I'll give you a primer on copyright law in the United States.